The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
There's a reason that we live so far from Hollywood, in the country looking hard to find a home, but nothing perfect or considered.
America, bonjour, hi, Canada, rabbit, July 1, 2020. That was a hell of a half of a year, wasn't it? Good morning to you. Listen, if you got through the first half of 2020, you can do anything. You know, the old line, if it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger. Well, it has killed a lot of people. It has made us a lot stronger. Let me begin with some great news. Two, actually. The United States Supreme Court yesterday firmly established the Free Exercise Clause as equal to any other right that Americans enjoy, the right to believe and worship and act on those beliefs. And the refusal of the court to accommodate religious bigotry in Montana's Constitution and the other 37 states with mini Blaine amendments, they're called, that call on no aid to religious schools in any way, shape, or form, have all been gone. They're all knocked down now. Chief Justice Roberts, remember, you were mad at him last week. I told you just wait until this week. Chief Justice Roberts writing for the five conservatives, and there are five conservatives on the court who understand that every right in the Bill of Rights is equal weighted. And the right to free exercise of religion is equal to every other right. It is now dispositive, that if Donald Trump had not won the presidency, your religious freedom would be abridged by a court that featured not one, at least one, and perhaps two left-wingers who would have joined with the four liberals yesterday to restrict religious belief. The case is Montana versus Espinoza. I'll tell you about it in the bottom of the hour. But a huge win for religious liberty, and there are still two more big cases to come. In my view, the two biggest ones, Our Lady of Guadalupe and Little Sisters of the Poor. But the Montana case is a huge win. And some of the excerpts that I will read you, you've just got to be here at the bottom of the hour. The second bit of great news yesterday, I find it almost impossible to believe. And this is almost a market update. So I'll say thank you, Birch Gold, for bringing us this news. Birch Gold does the business story of the day. They sponsor the business story every morning. And so you go to HughGold.com, HughGold.com, or you text my name, Hugh, to 474747 if you want to buy gold or diversify. Definitely diversify. I was telling you to diversify back in December and November before the virus was even in anyone's scope, except, of course, the Chinese Communist Party. I was telling you to diversify because the stock market had gotten so high, I expected a blow off of profit taking. Well, you should be diversified right now, and you can do that at HughGold.com with Birch Gold because, headline, Wall Street Journal, U.S. stocks finish best quarter in more than 20 years. I repeat, U.S. stocks finish best quarter in more than 20 years. So I ask you, did you see that coming in March when you'd lost 20% of your value? If you panicked and left the market at that point, you're in trouble. If you had done what I suggest, never sell in a panic, but always have some gold. Gold today is at $1,804. Now, how do you figure the stock market being back up at its record highs, and gold being at 1804. That's because the market expects inflation, as I do. As I think Brian Westbury of First Trust does. We'll have to get Brian back on soon to talk about this. But it just seems to me that when you have stocks, the Michael Wursthorn piece reads, U.S. stocks wrapped up their best quarter in more than 20 years, a remarkable rally after the coronavirus pandemic brought business around the world to a virtual standstill. Just 3 months ago, investors were lamenting the end of the bull market and the longest economic expansion on record after major U.S. stock indexes lost about 35% of their value in less than 6 weeks. The subsequent rebound has been nearly as brisk, partly thanks to an unprecedented $1.6 trillion stimulus package from the Federal Reserve and Congress and a surge in trading among individual investors. The rally has lifted everything from beaten down energy stocks to apparel retailers to big technology firms. Quote, massive stimulus by the Fed and on the fiscal side has propelled the stock market's recovery at a speed unlike we've ever seen, said Liz Ann Saunders, chief investment strategist at Charles Schwab and Company. I must tell you, I am not an advisor, a financial advisor. I don't do stock picking. The only stock I own is Amazon. You know my theory. If it's not your business, you're going to get beat by people whose business it is. So pick one stock if you like to play the stock market, if you like to invest. But otherwise, go with stock market indexes or make sure that it's all mutual funds like me so that you don't end up trying to pick against pros. It'd be like you're sitting down here and trying to do a radio show. Or, well, I mean, you could produce the way Dwayne produces. But if you sat down here and tried to do a radio show once every 5 years, you would sound horrible as opposed to the way I do a radio show, which is like it's muscle memory. I've been doing this for 30 years. Yesterday, Amazon went up $78, which is 3%. All right, so it closed at $2,758. It was down at 1,400 or something like that in March. 1,500. I don't buy and sell. I've gotten out of Amazon one time and gotten back into it. Otherwise, I held Apple for years. I just pick one and I hold it. I also believe in gold, and that's why you should be going to Birch Gold, HughGold.com, or texting my name, Hugh, to 474747. Not a lot, 10 to 20%, not a lot. I buy it as well for grandkids. I buy it for people for long-term investments. Do not get caught undiversified. Now, on that great news of religious freedom's epic win and the stock market finish, there comes in this rundown some not great news. Oh, by the way, in Germany, they have a huge pent-up spending. I mean, enormous amount of retail spending in May by the Germans. And that made the Financial Times this morning, so I want to tell you about that. Here's the bad news. Tony Fauci tells us we're going to get to 100,000 cases a day. Now, I actually think, well, let's listen to it. Cut number 14, Anthony Fauci in the Senate yesterday.
I can't make an accurate prediction, but it is going to be very disturbing. I will guarantee you that, because when you have an outbreak in one part of the country, even though in other parts of the country they're doing well, they are vulnerable. I made that point very clearly last week at a press conference. We can't just focus on those areas that are having the surge. It puts the entire country at risk. We are now having 40-plus thousand new cases a day. I would not be surprised if we go up to 100,000 a day if this does not turn around. And so I am very concerned.
Now, there is an editorial today in the Washington Post that suggests that this is all because of Donald Trump. That's its suggestion. I actually believe this is because of the demonstrations. And we'll talk about it, 1-800-520-1234. I believe this surge in cases is because of the demonstrations. I am also optimistic about the therapies that have developed and our fatalities remaining below 750 a day, maybe as low as 500 a day after another week or so of recovering from the demonstrations. They want to blame Trump. It was, in fact, and I don't blame the demonstrators for demonstrating. The murder of George Floyd was outrageous, and it precipitated events that could not be shut down. But let's not pretend that it wasn't because of the demonstration. That's what it was. It was the demonstration. Now the bad news. The Hong Kong crackdown has begun by the Chinese Communist Party. They have begun. Hong Kong police have made their first arrest, according to the Financial Times, under a sweeping new national security law imposed by the Asian Financial on the Asian Financial Hub by Beijing. A day after he signed the legislation, Xi Jinping signing legislation. What a joke. What a show. Meanwhile, Singapore has joined the rest of the world in throwing Huawei out. Their 5G network is going to Ericsson and Nokia. Good for them. Good for them. But the people of Hong Kong are lost to the free world. And I think you need to know that. We need to be ready in this election to make sure that we vote accordingly. Joe Biden is an appeaser. He appeased Iran. He appeased China. He would appease China again. Donald Trump and his team are anti-Chinese Communist Party bullying. They will stand up to them. They have stood up to them. We need to reelect Donald Trump, not just for religious freedom, not just for the economy, but because of China. When we get back, the dumbest move by a school board I have ever seen occurred last night. In fact, less than 6 hours ago by my watch, the Los Angeles Unified School District voted to cut school police budget by $25 million because they are in the thrall of a hard left ideology that threatens to take over the United States if we do not reelect Donald Trump and Republicans everywhere. I'll tell you about it after the break on this morning's edition of The You Hewitt Show. Good July 1 to you. Welcome back, America. Hugh Hewitt. For those of you who are new to the show, I spent 10 years doing the nightly news and public affairs show for PBS in L.A., KCET. 10 years, from 1992 to 2002. And so what we covered a lot was the dysfunction, the systemic dysfunction of the Los Angeles Unified School District. It has never worked. It is too big. If there was not a parochial school system in Los Angeles, I don't think you could count on anyone getting a decent education for under $30,000 or $40,000 a year. They got lots of private schools for Hollywood's elite, et cetera, that take care of the elite. But their public schools are a nightmare. Not all of them. There are great teachers, of course, in every school. There are great administrators in every district. But LAUSD is a nightmare. And they've tried everything. I mean, they've tried literally everything. But it's just too big. It's run by the unions. It's corrupt. It's just terrible. And kids are, it's not as bad as Compton. Compton was the worst. It was taken over by the state. But it's the worst big public school district. It's worse than New York by a lot. They proved it again last night. It's some of those schools are pretty dangerous as well. They've got gangs. They've got drugs. They've got violence. And they have police, or at least they had a lot of police until last night. They have to protect kids from predators. I don't mean sexual abuse predators. I mean just gangsters and people with violence on their mind. Late last night, the LAUSD school board voted to cut the school police budget by $25 million. That means that it will lose 35% of its officers. It was debated during a public hearing that went late into the night, and they say it's going to go, that money is going to be redirected to supporting African-American student achievement, gang reduction programs, and investment in counselors and safety aides. But it means that 65 police officers are gone. 65 out of the 460 that they have throughout the district. I want you to know that's going to get kids killed. The LAUSD is so political, so in the complete grip of the radical left that is sweeping the country and the Democratic Party, that they're putting kids' lives at risk. You don't cut $25 million of police in schools and not immediately see ill effects from their absence. New York City, by the way, cut $1 billion from the police in their metropolitan budget. Defunding the police has now become part of the Democratic Party's platform. Speaking of which, Joe Biden came out of the basement yesterday, sort of. This is not really a press conference. Because he admits it's not a press conference. Would you play first cut number six, where he admits he's got a list of people he's going to call on? Cut number six.
I'm happy to take questions if you have them. He gave me a list of how to recognize. Is Alex AP out there?
Okay, so they gave me a list of who to call on. That's fine. President Trump often has a list, but let's not pretend it's a press conference like Donald Trump holds.
Biden can't even remember the name of his hometown. Cut number 7.
Where is the Wilmington, the Delaware State News? I mean, Delaware News Journal, I should say. That's my hometown team. I better call on them.
Yeah, you better remember them first. And then he slams Trump for his cognitive capabilities, believe it or not. Cut number 8.
One of two things. This president is, he talks about cognitive capability. He doesn't seem to be cognitively aware of what's going on. He either reads and or gets briefed on important issues and he forgets it, or he doesn't think it's necessary that he need to know it. But the fact is that at a minimum, the discrepancy allegedly between within the intelligence community has reported, some thought it was more certain and others thought it was less certain, that should be resolved. The president should have on day one said, I want you to come before me in the Situation Room.
Oh my
and
God.
Lay out the differences.
The prospect of this guy as president. I know you have an aesthetic. Some of you have an aesthetic objection to Donald Trump, that he's mean, that he picks fights, he personalizes everything. But honest to goodness, slow Joe Biden. You're going to trust this country in the middle of an existential battle with the Chinese Communist Party that's going to extend for 100 years, and we're going to start it with Joe Biden? No, you're going to re-elect Donald Trump. Stay tuned.
Greatest stuntman. Huh. Oh, yeah. Huh.
Huh. Yes. Huh? He's posing.
Duke, we need
Hold on. One moment. Oh, yeah. What brings you back?
We stand on guard for thee.
Welcome back, America, on Canada Day, July 1. Bonjour, hi, Canada. That was Duke Kaboom. Beloved character from Toy Story 4. Now, we all know what he knows. We know what Duke Kaboom says. Yes, I, Canada! And so we say, yes, we, Canada, here at the Hugh Hewitt Show. Happy Canada Day to our friends who are listening up north, and to our Canadian friends who live down south, and to those Canadians who become American, like my son's father-in-law. Happy Canada Day, Russ. And all you Canadians out there, grand that you're celebrating today. We celebrate on July 4th, you celebrate on July 1st, and we do not begrudge you going ahead of us, and we certainly always love it when the Maple Leaf, if we can't see the American flag rise at the Olympics, I think it's a toss-up between UK and Canada. I know we like Australia, too, and New Zealand, the five-eye countries are all together, but, Canada's got the best national anthem next to ours, right? Oh, well, the Brits. Look, I'm not going to wade into something that's going to just cause great controversy. I just say happy Canada Day to you all. And thank you, Russ, for reminding me it's Canada Day. I want to say yesterday was Religious Freedom Day. For those of you who believe that the public schools have failed American children in many places and that they're becoming worse every day because they're becoming more, quote, progressive, harder left, more doctrinaire, dictatorial, less effective in preparing students for a new society and a new productive career to live a century. They've got to do well between the ages of 5 and 18 and then go to a college like Hillsdale that actually teaches them something. Increasingly, that means a religious school. And 38 states have constitutional provisions that bar any sort of aid to religious schools. These are called mini Blaine Amendments. And if you want to read the history of the Blaine Amendment and how anti-Catholicism motivated the original Blaine Amendment, which did not make it into the United States Constitution, thank God, but versions of which made it into these 38 state constitutions, it's all in Sam Alito's concurring opinion. But yesterday, I read from the Wall Street Journal story of this. The Supreme Court ruled Tuesday that states cannot exclude church schools from programs benefiting their private non-sectarian counterparts, bolstering a conservative drive to expand public support for religious education. Actually, it doesn't bolster anything other than the First Amendment. It is a constitutional right called the Free Exercise Clause. It is paired with the prohibition on the establishment of religion to form the first freedoms, to be free of being told what to believe and to be free from being told what not to believe and to be interfered with in any way, including your instruction of your children. You may not be discriminated against because of your religious belief, whatever it is, or your lack thereof. This isn't about favoring Catholics or favoring Muslims or favoring Buddhists or favoring atheists. It's about everybody gets the same treatment, and you may not be in any way, shape, or form obligated to believe something you don't believe in, and you may not be obstructed in your public worship and your public practice, which includes your religious schools. And if you have religious schools, they can't be discriminated against. Quote, from the Chief Justice John Roberts' majority opinion in a 5-4 decision, a state need not subsidize private education, but once a state decides to do so, it cannot disqualify some private schools solely because they are religious, which is exactly what Montana had done. Now, I've read through all the opinions. I teach a seminar on the First Amendment. The religion clause is getting most of the emphasis, and the free exercise clause getting most of the emphasis therein. Every other year. And I'm off this year. I'm taking a leave of absence to help at the Nixon Library. So I'm not teaching this year. So I'm not teaching the seminar. I'm sure we would have spent all spring until interrupted by the virus on this case, Montana versus Espinoza. The Chief Justice wrote, the prohibition, Montana's prohibition before us today, burdens not only religious schools, but also the families whose children attend or hope to attend them. Drawing on, quote, an enduring American tradition, close quote, we have long recognized the rights of parents to direct, quote, the religious upbringing, close quote, of their children. Bravo, Chief Justice Roberts, for reminding people parents control the religious upbringing of their children. They can stop them from being brainwashed into being deists or secularists or atheists in the public schools. And if there is a program to assist private schools, religious schools may not be segregated from it, denied the same benefits of it. Justice Thomas was so specific in his concurring opinion. He wrote, this court has an unfortunate tendency to prefer certain constitutional rights over others. The Free Exercise Clause, although enshrined explicitly in the Constitution, rests on the lowest rung of the court's ladder of rights, and precariously so at that. No more. Not after yesterday. Not after yesterday. Justice Alito wrote, many parents of many different faiths still believe that their local schools inculcate a worldview that is antithetical to what they teach at home. Bravo, Justice Alito. Absolutely they do. And so they look for a Christian school or a Jewish school or a Muslim school or a school of traditional tritium values, and especially Catholic schools, which need to rejuvenate and reinvigorate. And I wish there were people out there as generous to them as LeBron James has been to the public schools of Akron. I've never understood that. LeBron came out of a Catholic school. Perhaps he's aiding it privately. I don't know. I can't condemn him because I don't know what he does privately. But would that Mark Zuckerberg or somebody else give a whole bunch of money to the Catholic schools of America to revitalize and thereby compete with and improve the public schools? Justice Gorsuch got 10 points for Ravenclaw. I think Justice Gorsuch is a Ravenclaw person. And if you understand that, you know what I'm talking about, right? Generalissimo, do you have any idea what I'm talking about? Justice Gorsuch is from Ravenclaw? You don't, do you?
I just got here. What was that?
Do you know what Ravenclaw is?
Oh, yeah.
What is it?
It's one of the houses of Harry Potter.
Right, of Hogwarts.
Of Hogwarts, yeah.
And so I just said Justice Gorsuch is from is a Ravenclaw.
I can see that.
That's clearly the case, don't you think? That's clearly the case?
I can see him being in Ravenclaw. Ravenclaw are kind of the weird, nerdy brainiacs.
They're the brainiacs, right?
Yeah.
And so, we obviously believe that Gryffindor is Chief Justice Roberts. Now, I'm not going to tell anyone who, because it takes courage to do what he does. They are the courageous ones. And it's not always the right choice.
He's very Hufflepuffy, though.
No, he's not Hufflepuffy. The Hufflepuffs, I'm not going to name anyone else. Other people can have their opinions. You can do the after show on this. I've just told you that
Thomas
Roberts
Thomas
is in Gryffindor.
Thomas is Gryffindor.
Oh, Thomas is Gryffindor, too. But remember, there are a lot of different people. There are Neville Longbottom in Gryffindor, too. So you got a lot of different types.
You know RBG is Slytherin.
I'm not going to say who's in Slytherin. I'm not. I have no opinions on that. RBG was very nice to me. When I was 30 years ago a clerk, or 35 years ago, I try and forget how long it's been since I clerked on the D.C. Circuit, and Justice Ginsburg was very, very nice to me then. So I'm not going to say anyone is in Slytherin, but Justice Gorsuch is definitely in Ravenclaw. 1-800-520-1234 if you'd like to weigh in on this, America. But we're not putting anyone in Slytherin. Don't you think I'm right about Gorsuch?
I'm putting people in Slytherin on the court.
No, that you have, can do that.
That have zero chance of appearing on this show.
You can put people in Slytherin all you want. And Hufflepuff, you got to go back and review what the Sorting Hat says about them. But the Chief Justice is clearly in Gryffindor. And Justice Thomas is clearly in Gryffindor. I'm not going to say who else is in Gryffindor and who's in Hufflepuff and who's in Ravenclaw. Justice Gorsuch is clearly in Ravenclaw.
Yes.
I think Justice Kavanaugh is in Ravenclaw, too. I do believe.
Oh, no, no,
oh,
no,
I think
no,
Justice
no,
Kavanaugh is in Ravenclaw.
No, 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 no.
Yeah, I do. So we'll wait and see. We need a lot more. We haven't got enough information yet to do Sorting Hat. But after the Title VII. But I digress. Here's Justice Gorsuch doing his Ravenclaw bit. He says in his opinion yesterday, quote, this is Justice Gorsuch. I love this. I met him at the Nixon Library in the summer, and it was just grand. He's a grand guy. He's a terrific, terrific person. I never met him before. He is so winsome. The Fetching Mrs. Hewitt said, why don't we have 9 of those? Of course, she loves Chief Justice Roberts, too. And she loves Justice Thomas. The only one. She loves everybody. That's the way the Fetching Mrs. Hewitt is. So she really, Slytherin would be empty if she was the Sorting Hat. All right. If the Fetching Mrs. Hewitt was in charge of Hogwarts, no one would be in Slytherin. Anyway, Gorsuch wrote yesterday, in the century before our nation's founding, Oliver Cromwell promised to Catholics in Ireland, as to freedom of conscience, I meddle with no man's conscience. But if you mean by that liberty to celebrate the Mass, I would have you understand that in no place where the power of the Parliament of England prevails shall that be permitted. So they don't even know it, but the liberals on the court got compared to Oliver Cromwell yesterday. Now, Aaron, if you're listening, I know what you Oliver Cromwell was the worst person in history for Ireland. He was. He just massacred Catholics and he hated Catholics. And so it's, oh, yeah, you betcha, freedom of conscience. I'm all for that. But you can't say the Mass anywhere. And Gorsuch says that's the way the liberals and the left in this country view religion. But religion won big yesterday. And I put it before you, dispositively, to use my favorite word. If Donald Trump had not been elected president, we would not have won, we being people of faith, yesterday. And if you care about your religious belief, you have to vote to reelect him. Because it's a 5-4 court when it comes to defending your religious belief. 4 justices were willing to suppress religious schools yesterday, to treat them differently, to discriminate against them. 4 liberals were willing to say Catholic schools are second-class citizens. 4 liberals want to stamp out religion. Understand the worldview. Understand what Alito said. Alito said many parents of many different faiths believe that their local schools inculcate a worldview that is antithetical to what they teach at home. Amen, they do. Now, many public schools don't, but many do. And many teachers are crazy. You know, my daughter did not tell me for years. She had a whack job lefty at high school who abused her every day because of me. She didn't tell me for years until I had moved, because I would have gone down there. Oh, my gosh. That would have been a loud day at that school. Because there are leftists in the classroom who will not respect children of faith, who will not respect children of center-right views or conservative views, whatever. And that is why yesterday was so important. That was the case of the year. And Our Lady of Guadalupe is coming. Stay tuned. America, it's Hugh Hewitt. So it has begun on air. the sorting of the justices into the four houses of Hogwarts. Now, I am very, very certain that Justice Gorsuch, I can only speak to the justices that I have met personally. Justice Gorsuch is definitely in Ravenclaw. The Chief Justice, who I know the best of the nine, and I don't know him well. He's not a close friend. I just see him occasionally, and we spent a year together in the White House 35 years ago in the same office. But I read everything he writes. I think he's clearly from Gryffindor. And Justice Thomas, who I've spent a lot of time on air with, knew and worked with on the CFC when he was the head of the EEOC, again, a half a century ago, he's clearly from Gryffindor. Further affiant saith not. I'm just not going to put anyone into Slytherin or Hufflepuff. Hufflepuff is the party crowd and the happy people, and they go and they're loyal, right? They're loyal.
Yes, and they are hardworking and loyal, and yeah, they value hard work. They're dedicated. They're patient.
Yeah, actually, Justice Kavanaugh is a Hufflepuff.
That's what I told you.
I don't know him. I've never met Justice Kavanaugh.
Of course,
but I think
he's a Hufflepuff.
But he might be a Ravenclaw.
Who?
He might be Kavanaugh.
No,
he might be. Well, it depends. I got to read some more opinions. And Alito is clearly a Ravenclaw. All right? Clearly a Ravenclaw. He is just as smart as the day is long. You should read this concurring opinion yesterday. Look, this has now begun, and I'm not putting anyone into Slytherin. And just because you're a liberal doesn't put you into Slytherin.
Chicken.
I'm not chicken. I am prudent. Further affiant saith not. You know, there are some good people who've come out of Slytherin. They tend to be cunning. Now, there are some good, cunning. I'm trying to think of any good guy or gal coming out of Slytherin. I know we all think of Slytherin. And by the way, if you don't know what I'm talking about, and you're one of those crazy Christians who think Harry Potter is.
Technically, Snape turned out to be all right, didn't he?
Yes. Stop. What are you, the spoiler king? You are king.
You're the one person in America that hasn't seen the Harry Potter movies?
You are the spoiler king. You know, I'm hoping...
That's a 25-year-old franchise by now.
No, there are children who live in isolation.
Daniel Radcliffe is a grandfather by now.
You know what? There are children who live in isolation because they're not old enough to read the books or see the movies. They're not allowed to... So stop. They might be in the back of the car. You don't give away any details that, gosh, let them believe what they believe.
You asked for anybody that good that came out of Slytherin. We know one.
Yeah, but that you're a spoiler. You're a spoiler. So I'm also not going to compare any Supreme Court justice to Snape. Although I got to tell you, you know how there are celebrity sightings? You know how you see a celebrity sometimes, and people on the West Coast do this more in New York, et cetera. You see a celebrity. And you could be standing next to a celebrity, and you don't say anything, because they're a celebrity. And by that I mean a real celebrity, not a talk show host and not a news person. There are no real celebrities in the media, in the news business, all right? Journalists are not celebrities. You might recognize them. They're not celebrities. People come up to me in airports to yell at me, that's fine, or to say they lift this show. I love that, but we're not celebrities. I mean a real celebrity. So Alan Rickman, God bless his soul, was a real celebrity. Before the Potter movies were made, I am at the old Getty. There are two Getty museums in Los Angeles. And the old Getty is the real Getty, in my view. It's the Getty where they collect antiquities, Rome, Greek, that sort of stuff. And I'm standing looking at some ancient Greek pottery. And who appears at my right shoulder but Alan Rickman? And Alan Rickman surprises me by giving me the look at, I know you, and I nod at him. I know you. Same look I once gave to Kevin Bacon at the Shutters Hotel. And I'm always surprised that celebrities actually listen to talk radio. Like when I met Clint Eastwood, I had a buddy said, come over and meet Clint Eastwood. I said, no, I'm not going to bother him. He said, come on, meet Clint Eastwood. Said, hello, Mr. Eastwood, how are you? He said, I know who you are. Yeah, you know, at that point, you're scared, right? He might shoot you. But in any event, they listen to talk radio. So, Alan, well, it's true, right? I said, it's true. It's true. You know, Clint Eastwood is probably carrying. You don't know if he likes the show. Ah, I know who you are. And we got a snap. But Alan Rickman and I did not say a word. I just thought he was great. I just thought every role he ever had was great. He even played, I was going to say the King of Ireland, but the Oh, my gosh. My son's Irish mother-in-law is going to kill me because I can't remember the guy who's founded, you know, the first president of Ireland.
Since you're on Celebrities.
No, even, I'm in, what's his name? Oh, Aaron, I'm sorry. Oh, this is like, this is a mortal sin for Irish Catholics.
Since you're on Celebrities, can we say a fond farewell to a true celebrity?
Oh, my gosh, Carl Reiner.
Carl Reiner at 98, one of the all-time
greatest. Funniest man in America. Funniest man in America.
We are going to miss him.
All right. We'll be back. Hour number two coming up, America. It's Canada Day on The Hugh Hewitt Show.